The Aftarah Parshas Tzaveh comes from Sefer Yechezkel, Perek Mem Gimel 43, beginning with Pasuk Yod, verse 10. Yechezkel Anovi prophesied, the beginning of his prophecy was when the first Beis HaMikdash was all but destroyed. It was pretty much on its way to destruction when Yechezkel HaNovi began to say his prophecy. And in this section, at the end of Sefer Yechezkel, Yechezkel HaNovi gets a nevuah, prophecy from Hashem, which he's shown by Hashem the form and these in great detail of a future Beis HaMikdash, how a future Beis HaMikdash will be built. Yechezkel is now in the time between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and Yechezkel is shown in a prophecy how a new Beis HaMikdash will look. And the Dovi goes through in great detail, describing all of the details that he was told by Hashem about how this future Beis HaMikdash will look. And in the Haftarah, Yechezkel HaNovi is told by Hashem to give over this information about this future Beis HaMikdash to the Jewish people. And the Haftarah begins, Atah ben Adam, you son of man, like we mentioned previously. Yechezkel is referred to throughout the Sefer of the book of Yechezkel as Ben Adam, son of man. We've spoken about that previously. Hagedes Beis Yisrael as Habayis, tell the house of Israel, tell the Jewish people about the Bayis, about this future Beis HaMikdash. V'yikomu me'avoy neseihem, and they'll be ashamed from their sins. Umbadadu es tochnis, and let them measure, calculate the design of the Beis HaMikdash. So let them not only just hear the information, but let them contemplate it and think about it, how it would practically be applied, the measurements and all the details of this future Beis HaMikdash. So Yechezkel HaNovi is instructed by Hashem to give over the information about that future Beis HaMikdash to the Jewish people. And he's told by Hashem an interesting thing, V'yikomu me'avoy neseihem, that they'll, through telling them over about the Beis HaMikdash, they'll be embarrassed, they'll be ashamed of their sins. So what exactly does that mean? If you take a look at source number 2, the Metzudas David, the Metzudas in his commentary on the Pasuk says, V'yikomu me'avoy neseihem, what would seem to be the simple explanation is, L'ma'an yihye lohem klima al ha'avoy nesha'asu, so that they should have embarrassment, they should be ashamed of the sins that they did. When you'll tell over to them about the building of this future Beis HaMikdash, they'll remember the glorious days of the first Beis HaMikdash, that it was destroyed because of their sins. They'll be embarrassed, they'll be ashamed because of that. Here they sit in Galus, in exile, in Babel, in Babylonia. You start telling them about a future Beis HaMikdash, and immediately will ring a bell in their mind. They'll remember the Beis HaMikdash that they had previously, and they'll think about the fact they no longer have that Beis HaMikdash and why they don't have it. They'll remember their sins, and thus they'll be embarrassed, they'll be ashamed of those sins.
Did you say this was before this, after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed?
This is after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed,
but before the second one was built.
Correct.
So why do they think this is talking about number 3 instead of number 2?
I didn't say anything about number 3.
Oh, okay. See, that's my miss. Okay, thank you. That's good. All right. Okay.
Well, the reason why they say it's talking about number 3 is because the details that are given about this Beis HaMikdash don't match the way the second Beis HaMikdash was made.
Thank you.
But we'll get back to that point.
All right, thank you.
Okay. So that's what Metzudas says. And Rashi, very interestingly, says something slightly differently. In source number 3, or Gimel, Rashi, on the Pasuk says, again, tell the Jewish people about this Beis HaMikdash, v'yikomu me'avoy neseihem, and they'll be ashamed of their sins. V'har'oisi lomoy chasdi she'eni moyasom ba'avoynom. Matzosim. Actually, I found an explanation that when I show them my kindness, that I have not despised them because of their sins, that'll lead to their embarrassment. Rashi is saying a very interesting idea. It's the Jewish people, when they see that their sins have caused Hashem to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so perhaps they'll think to themselves, Hashem is disgusted by us, Hashem has now abandoned us. Hashem's not interested in us anymore. And when they see that despite their great sins, Hashem still has plans for them for the future. Hashem is telling Yechezkel already about a future based Hamikdash. Hashem plans to getting back together with the Jewish people. The relationship is not over. They'll be embarrassed of Hashem's great kindness that despite their great sins, despite their abundant sins, Hashem is still willing to continue the relationship. That kindness of Hashem, the fact that they're undeserving of the relationship with Hashem, and despite that, Hashem has not given up on them. That feeling that a person has when he gets something that he feels is not deserving of, that feeling of embarrassment, that is what is identified here by Hashem, according to Rashi, that Hashem says to Yechezkel, when you tell them about the future based Hamikdash, that I still have plans for them, I still have interest in having a relationship with them, that because they'll feel they're not deserving of it, that will cause them embarrassment, they'll feel embarrassed that Hashem is so good to them, despite their sins against Him. That's the explanations of the Mesudais and of Rashi. Rav Aaron Kotler, Mishnas Rav Aaron, Chelek Gimel, he writes a different, slightly different approach to understanding this pasuk. Rav Aaron writes that we find in the Gemara and Brachos seems to indicate that the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, is really representative of the spiritual blueprint of the world and everything that's contained within it. The Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, it's not a special place that in a unique individual place which has special Kedusha and holiness. It's really representative of the entire world. It represents the spiritual blueprint, the spiritual building blocks of the entire world. He quotes the Gemara in Brachos, which you'll find on your source sheet in source number 4. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Hei, says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Yoideya hoya betzalel, letzaref oisiyois, shenivru bohen shamayim v'oretz. Says, Betzalel, in order, Betzalel was the chief builder of the Mishkan. And in order to do that, says the Gemara, Betzalel had to know, letzaref oisiyois, shenivru bohen shamayim v'oretz. They would combine letters that through them, the heavens and earth were created. In other words, Betzalel had to know the secrets of how the world was created. Obviously, that doesn't mean in architecture, in building, how to do it. What it means is, he knew Tzarek Oisio, he put the letters together, the way Hashem created the world by putting letters together, whatever that means on a deeper level. But the idea is, the spiritual, mystical ideas behind the makeup of the world, Betzalel had to be familiar with them in order to create the Mishkan. Why? Because what the Mishkan is, says Rav Aaron, is sort of like a scale model of the world in a spiritual way. The spirituality of the world, the spirituality that underlies the entire world and everything that's contained with it, it's all represented in the Mishkan in one way or the other. If we look at the Mishkan, we could see an example, a model of the spirituality of the entire world. Says Rav Aaron, for that reason, Hashem tells Yechezkel, Hanavi, if you go to the Jewish people and you tell them, describe to them all the details, the plans for this Beis Hamikdash, they'll see in it the spiritual representation of themselves. They might not be able to see it in themselves, but when they look at the Mishkan, they'll be able to see what underlies them, the blueprints, the plans for themselves, what their strengths are, what their potential is, what happens when they do Averos, how that affects them in a negative way, how they can atone for themselves. When you look at the Mishkan, the Baron says, it's like a mashal. It's like an allegory. It's like a metaphor for the entire world on a spiritual level. And although we live in the world, which is a physical world, but if we look at the design, if we look at the details of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash, we could see in it what the spiritual underpinnings of the world, the spiritual basis and foundation of the world. With that, says Hashem Tichezva Anovi, the Jewish people will be able to see in that their spiritual sources, their spiritual basis, to be able to understand from there what their abilities are, what their potential is, and what kind of damage is caused by their Averus, and they'll be able to see from that further more how they can rectify that, how they can atone for their sins. Says Rav Aaron, we have to always try to learn lessons that apply to us as well. Well, first of all, perhaps that's a reason why one should study the details of the Mishkan that are recorded in the Navi, but perhaps we might not have that same perception as they did when they were told over by Chezkel HaNavi. Presumably it wasn't exactly in the way it's presented in the Navi, and just in that way, perhaps it was presented to them on a deeper level, and they were able to understand from it on a deeper spiritual level what the messages of each part of the Mishkan were. But at least for ourselves, says Aaron, we could look at the Mishkan and we could see from the Mishkan what's necessary to have Ashuras Ashkina in our own lives. If the Mishkan is a representation, a spiritual representation of the entire world and even of ourselves, the Ashuras Ashkina there is representative of the Ashuras Ashkina that we could have ourselves. We know, Pasuk says, last week in Parashas Truma, it's well known, Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, the Asuli Mikdash, they should make for me a Beis HaMikdash, v'shachanti b'soichon, I'll rest in them, not in the Beis HaMikdash, I'll rest in them, in each and every person. Every person can merit to have Ashuras HaShechina, can have that relationship with Hashem, that Hashem could rest the Shechina on the person. How does that come about? If we look, we could look at the Mishkan is represented, Ashuras HaShechina in the Mishkan, is representative of the Ashuras HaShechina in each and every one of us. And what was necessary to bring out the Ashuras HaShechina in the Mishkan is also, says Rav Aaron, what's necessary to bring about the Ashuras HaShechina in ourselves, to have our own personal dveikus, closeness with Hashem, with the Shechina, that how we could bring that about, we can see from how it was brought about in the Mishkan. And Rav Aaron focuses on one primary, fundamental idea, which was crucial for the Ashuras HaShechina in the Mishkan. And what was that? Parshas Truma starts off, source number 5, Parshas Truma starts off, Hashem tells Moshe, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael, speaks to the Jewish people, v'ikhuli truma, they should take from me truma, donations, take from me an offering, me'ez kol ish, asher yidvenu liboy, tikhu es trumasi, from every person, asher yidvenu liboy, whose heart is willing, tikhu es trumasi, that's who you should take my truma from. So the end of the pasuk seems a bit superfluous. You should take it. Meis kolish hashayit venu liboy tikhu es trumasi. I take from me truma. Fine, I'll take it. Whoever's willing to give. But there's an extra message there. It's not just take from anyone who's willing to give. Take from anyone hashayit venu liboy. Anyone who has that willingness to give, that desire to give, an excitement to give. Not someone who like he pays his taxes, that he fetches as he has to send in his donation, as he has to send it in when he pays the membership for the shul, whatever it is, but he gives a big krecht when he has to write the check. That's not the kind of donation they were looking for in the Mishkan. They were looking specifically for a donation, who should you accept from? Only from the isha sheyidvenu liboy, only from the one who has the willingness, who has the desire to give for the Beis HaMikdash, not that he's being coerced into it, not that he feels pressured to do so, rather, he has that willingness to do so. And how do we know that that was a crucial component in the Ashuras HaShechina on the Mishkan? So Rav Aaron quotes the Yalkut Shemoini, Surah Zvav, Surah number 6, at the time when the Karbonos were being brought during the Imam Aluim. So the Medrash talks about that brings the pasuk that there had to be a kapara, there had to be an atonement. So the Medrash discusses what was the atonement for. So the Medrash says, El Sha'omar Moshe. Moshe said to himself, Shema b'shosh etziva odlin oilom, lisnadim dover l'mikdosh. Maybe at the time when the master of the world, when Hashem commanded that people should donate things to the mikdosh, dachi Yisrael ish v'ish, v'heviu shloil tevasa. Maybe there was pressure. Maybe people put pressure on each other. Maybe there was the social pressure of one person gave, and therefore his neighbor felt that he had to give at least as much, and so on and so forth. Maybe there was pressure amongst people, peer pressure, to give to the Mishkan. And it wasn't given with the full heart. It wasn't given with the full excitement and the full willingness. So therefore, Moshe says, "Tei kaparo zu shloyis nadev gezel mikdash." It's a mistake. There's gimel instead of a nun. This should be an atonement that stolen property shouldn't be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Baron says that the truth is, the halacha says that something that someone gives because of pressure, of embarrassment, it's not considered stolen. It's considered to be a legitimate giving. It's considered to be, it's considered to be fair. A person gives something away because he feels pressure, because he's embarrassed to not give it, and that's not considered real gezel. Says about Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu over here was concerned not about that it should be a real gazel. Moshe Rabbeinu's concern over here was that the Mishkan, in order for it to be the Hashuas Hashchina on the Mishkan, it was necessary that every single thing should come through Nedivos Halayim, through willingness, through happiness, through a desire to give. It shouldn't come out of pressure that a person feels that he has to give. In order to be Hashuas Hashchina, Moshe had to come to purify, to atone for the Mishkan in case there was anything there that didn't fit this high level of quality of Nedivos Halev, of willingness, of desire to give. Moshe had to bring a carbon, he had to be mechaper, he had to atone for that, to cleanse it, to get any vestige of coerced donations out of it so that it should be fitting for it to be Hashuas Hashchina, for the Shechina to come and rest it. Says about Aaron, we can learn from this that for ourselves as well, if we ourselves we want to have the Hashuas Hashchina of B'shochanti B'soicham, that Hashem should dwell amongst us, in ourselves, in us, we should have that Dveikos, that closeness to Hashem. How do we accomplish that? We have to do our Avodas Hashem with Ratzon, with willingness, with desire, with happiness, with Simcha. That's what we have to. That's the kind of Avodas Hashem that we see from the Mishkan. That's the kind of Avodas Hashem that brings about Hashuas Hashchina. Just as in the Mishkan, Hashuas Hashchina can only come about with full, unadulterated Nedivos Halev, dedication and devotion, willingness to donate to the Mishkan, so too in our own lives. For us to have Hashuas Hashchina in ourselves, we need to do our Avodas Hashem with Simcha, with happiness, with delight, with devotion, with willingness. Not because we feel it as a burden, as a pressure, but rather because we're happy to do it, we're excited to do it, because that's what we want to do. Ban goes on to say, on a bit of a deeper level, says that if we want that a person, where is Hashuas Hashchina? The Hashuas Hashchina, the Vedekas Hashem, takes place between the neshama, the soul of a person, and Hashem. It's the soul of a person that has a Vedekas, that connection, that cleaves, that has the potential to cleave to Hashem. So if a person wants to have the Hashuas Hashchina, that connection to Hashem with his neshama, so Zavid Hashem can't be limited to his guf. If a person goes through the motions to do the mitzvah, he's doing Zavidus Hashem with his body, but his neshama, his emotions are not involved in Avodas Hashem, then it's not possible for that to create a connection, for that to create a relationship with Hashem. The person wants to have that connection, that dveikus, that connection of a person's neshama with the Shechina, with Hashem. A person's neshama has to be involved in Avodas Hashem as well. A person has to not only be doing the Avodas Hashem with his guf, going through the motions with his body, but rather he has to have his neshama, his emotions involved as well, through his excitement, through his happiness, through his willingness and desire to do the mitzvahs and do that Avodas Hashem. And Rav Aaron writes that this is especially true when it comes to Libra Torah. He quotes the pasuk in the Teichacha in Parshas Kisavoy in source number 7, that the Torah says that all the curses, the klalos of the Teichacha, they come about. Why? Tachas Hashem le'avadu as Hashem le'kecha b'simcha tov levav me'roiv koyu. They come about, why? Because you didn't serve Hashem your God with happiness and with good heartedness. May Rav coil from abundance of everything. All the curses, all of the bad things that are written about in Teichacha and Parshas Kisavoy, that could be avoided with one thing, with serving Hashem b'simcha b'tov levav, serving Hashem with happiness, with good heartedness, with full dedication to the Avodas Hashem. That is the key to avoiding and to keeping away all the klalos, all the curses, and all the bad things that are written about in Teichacha in Parshas Kisavoy. And Rav Aaron goes on to say, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. He says, Gemara in Shabbos, what in what other way is doing mitzvahs with simcha, with happiness, with excitement, with devotion, in what other way is that beneficial for us? Says Rav Aaron, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, Staf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Braisa says, Tanya B'Shem Megamliel Oymer, is on the bottom of page 2. B'Shem Megamliel says, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'simcha. Any mitzvah which the Jewish people accepted upon themselves with simcha, with happiness, with excitement, You go Mila, like the mitzvah of Mila, Tachsiv, like it says, Sosa noichi alim rosecha, kemoitzi shalol rav, says, Sosa noichi alim rosecha, I rejoice on your words, what you say, kemoitzi shalol rav, like someone who finds an abundant treasure of spoils. So any such mitzvah, the Chazal tell us that Pasuk is referring to Mila. Sosa noichi alim rosecha is referring to Mila. So any mitzvah which they accepted with simcha, with happiness, adayin oisin oisa b'simcha, they still do it, they continue to do it. Many generations later, we continue to do such mitzvahs, b'simcha, with happiness, we rejoice. The mitzvah of Mila always comes with a festive meal, with a true celebration of the mitzvah. Bris Mila, it's a mitzvah. We do many other mitzvahs. Not every mitzvah is celebrated with a joyous meal. But Bris Mila, the Gemara says, the Braisa says, that because it was accepted originally with simcha, with happiness, and with excitement, so therefore, it continues to be practiced with excitement and with happiness. It says the Ba'ari, if we want that Avodas Hashem should continue, it should be passed along to future generations, it should be enduring. Our Avodas Hashem has to be b'simcha, with happiness, with excitement, with enthusiasm. Which brings to mind the famous statement of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's a very well-known statement. Rav Moshe Feinstein observed that many of the early people in America who were Shomer Shabbos themselves, they kept Shabbos, and yet their children ceased to be Shomer Shabbos. And I think that on a simple level, Rav Moshe Feinstein was saying a psychological idea, that psychologically, if a person presents Avodas Hashem, presents Torah and Mitzvahs to his children in a way that it's a burden, and we suffer from it, so the message that they get is that this is not a pleasant way to lead your life, and therefore they'll search out other ways to lead their lives, and perhaps abandon the ways of the Torah. I think that on a simple level, certainly Rav Moshe was giving a psychological observation. But I think perhaps, based on what Rav Aaron's saying, it's more than that. It's the guarantee of continuity of mitzvahs, of Torah, from one generation to the next, is only if the Avodas Hashem, we're mekabel the mitzvahs, the simcha with happiness, then there's a guarantee. Chazal tells us, the Braisa says, that there's a guarantee for mekabel the mitzvah with simcha, with happiness, with enjoyment, and with enthusiasm. Then there's a guarantee, Chazal guarantee us, that if you're mekabel the simcha, adayin oisa the simcha, there's a guarantee it'll be passed down to future generations, it'll be enduring, it'll be lasting. Future generations will continue to do those same mitzvahs with that same enthusiasm, with that same simcha and excitement and dedication. If the mitzvahs are not done with that, then there's no guarantee. We know the general way of the world is the way the world works, is people do things, and then the next generation, they do what they desire, and you see the world changes, and it continues, and then the natural way the world seems to be, that things change from generation to generation. People don't necessarily always follow the ways of their parents, of their forefathers. That's the natural way. It's the way of the Jewish people is above nature. It's an ace. It's a segula that through being mekabel the mitzvah, through doing mitzvahs b'simcha, there's a guarantee that the kabbalas mitzvahs, those mitzvahs will be passed on to future generations. It'll endure and it'll continue from one generation to the next. Shaloike derech hateva, perhaps against the natural way, which people don't necessarily, that's not always the way that people follow exactly the way of their forefathers. But this special segula, this guarantee, which is against the normal nature, is only true if there's the mekabel of the simcha. If you yourself accept it, you yourself do it with simcha, with happiness and enthusiasm, so then Chazal tell us, adayin oisin oisa the simcha, is still do it with happiness, it'll be passed down, you could be confident that future generations will continue to do those same mitzvahs, that same avodas Hashem, b'simcha, with happiness and with excitement. One more idea that Rav Aaron writes is that when we serve Hashem with ratzon, with willingness, with devotion, and dedication, b'simcha, with happiness and excitement, then that gives us a deeper connection to the mitzvah. It gives us a deeper connection to the Torah. We don't connect it only on the superficial level. We get a better hasoga, a better appreciation, a better understanding of the mitzvah, of the Avodas Hashem. We could see better and we could connect Hashem to it. And says the Baron, that leads to a stronger desire, a stronger interest in doing the mitzvah. And he says that it continues to build upon itself. that as a person does more and more mitzvahs with happiness and with excitement, he gets more of a desire, he gets more of an appetite for those mitzvahs. He gets a better hasaga, better appreciation for the mitzvah. He can perhaps understand it better, he can relate to it better, and he has a stronger desire to do it. When he has a stronger desire to do it, he can do it with more enthusiasm and more simcha, and he keeps on building and building and building, and it builds upon itself, that a person keeps on growing and growing and getting even greater hasaga, and greater appreciation of the mitzvahs. He can do it with even greater simcha and even greater happiness. So Rabbi Aaron identifies a number of ideas, which he says that the Yikom Avin Yisayim is really that the Chesva Anovi is told to tell over to the Jewish people that through seeing the form, the details of the Sujei Beis HaMikdosh, they'll be embarrassed from their sins. The idea is, says Rabbi Aaron, because through the Mishkan, which is a representation, a model of the entire world and of everything that inhabits the world. Through that, one can see, if one is able to understand it, one can see through that the spiritual blueprint of the world, the spiritual blueprint of himself, so that he can understand about himself. Even more so, says Rabbi Aaron, what's perhaps more relevant to us is that we can see through the Mishkan, we can see how Hashruas HaShchinah can take place in ourselves, which we see from what the Torah's description of the building of the Mishkan that comes about through Simcha, from the Divas Halev, through dedication, through enthusiasm and willingness, which Rabbi Aaron points out in a number of ways is very important for Avodas Hashem. First of all, because that's what leads to Hashruas HaShchinah, that our mitzvahs can bring about Hashruas HaShchinah on ourselves through doing them the Simcha. It says that it applies especially to Limud HaTorah. And second of all, Rabbi Aaron says that through that we have a guarantee, a seskula, a guarantee that through that the our mitzvahs and our Avodas Hashem will be enduring and will pass down to future generations. And third of all, it'll give us a greater hasaga, a greater appreciation, a greater understanding of the mitzvahs, and then it'll give us a greater appetite, a greater interest and desire to do the mitzvahs, which will continue to build on itself. Let's continue on, top of page 3. Continue on in the words of the Haftarah. The message of Hashem to Yechezkel continues. It says, "V'im nichlu mu mikol asher osu." And if indeed, when you begin to tell them over, and you start to tell them about this, the plans, this future Beis HaMikdash, if they're nichlu, they are indeed ashamed, mikol asher osu, from everything that they have done. So then, Hashem says, then you can continue and you can tell them, Tzuras Habayis, the form of this Beis HaMikdash, meaning the general structure that this Beis HaMikdash will have, Uschunasai, and its design. You could get into a little more detail of exactly each section of the Beis HaMikdash, where it'll be, the general plan for the structure of this future Beis HaMikdash, Umaytzav, Umayvav, and its exits and its entrances. These are all different details of the plans for the future Beis HaMikdash, the Chol Tzuraisav, and all its forms. Again, this over here, it's referring to, according to the Metzudeis at least, it's referring to telling about each specific room that there will be, besides the general areas of Kodesh, Kodesh HaKodashim, Azara. But you can get into more specific detail each room that will be in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Kol Chukaisav, and all of its laws, all of its instructions, which the Tzuvus explains means the usage of each room, what each room is meant to be used for, which room is the Lishkas HaGozis, where the Sanhedrin is supposed to be, which room is meant to be a place to store the Big Day Kahuna, so on and so forth, which room is meant to be used to store the animals for Karbonais. The Chol Tzuraisav, again, it's a repetition of the Chol Tzuraisav. Rashi says that he doesn't know what the purpose of the second Chol Tzuraisav is. However, the Metzudei says, again, this refers to the forms, this refers to first the decorations on the walls, which were palm trees and kruvim, as mentioned to Yechezkel earlier on in the perek, that the walls will be decorated with pictures of palm trees and kruvim, and the things that were on top of the aroin. So the Mitzvah says that's what the Chol Tzuraisav, the second Chol Tzuraisav, is referring to those images, those pictures, decorations on the wall. The Chol Tzuraisav and all of its teachings. The Mitzvah explains that means the laws of who's allowed to go where the Kehanim could go, where Yisraelim could go, where the women can go, where every the laws that apply to the practical usage of the Beis HaMikdash, all of this, you should make it known to them. And write it out in front of them, write it out in detail in front of them, make blueprints with pictures and examples to show them, to teach it to them. The Yishmiru is called Tsurasai, and they be able to keep and to safeguard the entire form that's called Chukaisav and all of its laws. They should get a clear picture and they should keep it with them, the form of the Beis HaMikdash and all the rules of the Beis HaMikdash, the Asu Oisam. And they shall do them. They shall do that. In other words, Hashem tells Yechezkel, you should tell over to the Jewish people, if indeed he sees that they're sincere and they're ashamed of their Aveirois, as they should be. So then he has the right to tell over to them the detail, the form, and the design, and the laws, the instructions of this future Beis HaMikdash. And he's told to write it in front of them, write it in front of their eyes, write it in front of them, so you should have it with them. And then they'll safeguard the entire form, this whole picture, and all the details of the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Kol Chukaisav, and all its rules. They have it clear, they'll keep it with them. They'll also owe some, and they will do them. Get back to that in a moment. Let's just learn the next pasuk. And Zoyis Teiras HaBoyis. So this is the Torah, this is the law of the Beis HaMikdash. And he's told to tell all the Jewish people, before you get into the details, Al Roi Shahar, upon the top of the mountain, the Beis HaMikdash should be, and Kol Gevuloi Saviv Kodesh Kadoshim, its entire boundary, all around, shall be Kodesh Kadoshim, shall be most holy. This is the law of the house. So Yechezkel is told to all the Jewish people, give them all the information, give it over to them in a clear way, give it over to them in a way they can safeguard it, they can keep it with them. The also ways that they're going to do them. And what should we know about the Beis HaMikdash? What's the general idea, message that we have to know about the Beis HaMikdash? It's Al Roi Shahar, it's on top of the mountain, and Kol Gevuloi Saviv Saviv Kodesh Kadoshim. Its entire boundary all around shall be Kodesh Kadosh. That's what Yechezkel is told to tell the Jewish people. If you go back to the end of Pasuk Yod Aleph, the words the Asu Oisam, and they will do them, are a bit troubling. The Asu Oisam, they're going to do them. As we pointed out, as we mentioned briefly before, these plans for Beis HaMikdash are not consistent with the way the second Beis HaMikdash is actually created. So the Asu Oisam seems to say they're going to use these plans for a future Beis HaMikdash, these people who are there in the Golos, in the exile in Babel, it seems that they're supposed to take these plans and use them to make a Beis HaMikdash. However, we find that those plans are not consistent, they don't match up with the way the second Beis HaMikdash was constructed. So are we to say they messed up? Right, that doesn't seem like the correct answer. You know, they just got it wrong, they should hire a better contractor who knew how to follow the plans better. That doesn't seem to be the proper answer. So let's take a look at the one of the Tudas. What does the Tudas say? The Tudas Dov, it says, the Yishmiru is going on earlier, whereas Yishmiru is Turasai, the Heim Yishmiru Belibam, Kol Turas Habayis Bechloloi, they shall guard in their hearts the entire form of the Beis HaMikdash, in general, the general picture, the general form, plan for the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Kol Chukaisav and all of its laws, Mashiroi Lishtamish Bechol Cheder, what it's Roy, what it's proper to use each room for, what each room is meant to be used for, the Oz, and then Yizku La'amoid B'tchiyo, V'yasu Oysam La'asin. Says the Mitzudah, what does Yechezkel mean? It says, the Osu Oysam, where Hashem tells Yechezkel, the Osu Oysam, they will do them. The message is that if they study these plans, and they devote their time and their energies to understanding them, and to getting them clear, to understanding the form, all the details, the practical details, and all the halachas that are relevant to it, then through that, Oz Yizku La'amoy B'tchiyo, they'll merit to come back by Tchiyas HaMeisim, V'yasu Oysam La'asim, they'll be able to use these plans for the third Beis HaMikdash. They'll be able to be the ones who will carry out these plans, who will use them to build the third Beis HaMikdash. That through studying these plans, Hashem tells Yechezkel, if the people, they study these plans, and they learn them very well, then through that they will merit to come back with Tchias HaBeisim to use these plans to erect the third Beis HaMikdash. So the Betutis understands, and it says, V'asu Oysam, referring to the future, the time of Tchias HaBeisim, that through studying them now, learning the plans, they'll merit to come back with Tchias HaBeisim to use them to build the third Beis HaMikdash. And the Tosfos Yom Tov, he has a sefer about the third Beis HaMikdash, about these Prokem and Yechezkel, which discuss the plans for what Chazal tells us is going to be the third Beis HaMikdash. And he tells us over here, don't make the mistake in thinking that this guarantee was limited to the generation of Yechezkel. Don't think that this message that Hashem gave over to Yechezkel to tell Jewish people, that if they study these plans and they learn very well the form of the Beis HaMikdash and its laws, they'll bear it to come back with Tchias HaMeisim to build that Beis HaMikdash. Don't think it was only for them. He says, "Have tocho klolis el kol shoymer umoydeid hatsurois kinizgar." It's a general promise. It's a promise that applies to anyone. And anyone who's shoymer umoydeid hatsurois kinizgar, who studies them, and someone who safeguards, measure all the measurements and all the forms, and gets a clarity of the picture, of the form, the way that the third Beis HaMikdash is supposed to look, sheyizgel etchiyol la'asoyis la'asin, he'll merit to come back by Tchias HaMeisim to build that third Beis HaMikdash. It's not only a guarantee for the generation of Cheskel, it's a guarantee for us here today. If we take the time and make the effort to study and to learn the various psukim, the sections of the Navi that describe the form of the third Beis HaMikdash and the halachas of the third Beis HaMikdash, we take the time out to get it clear, to safeguard it, to have it clear, and to have it make it part of us, then that says the place is Yom Tov. We're guaranteed by the Navi in the name of Hashem that we will merit to come back with Tchias HaMeisim to build the third Beis HaMikdash. And I saw a different quote from the place is Yom Tov, but he explains it a little further, that if we study these areas, not just the point isn't just to know the material. The point is, if a person has that feeling of yearning for Mashiach and for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, if it goes so far as the studies, the texts that talk about the third Beis HaMikdash, he should be prepared. Any moment the time to build the third Beis HaMikdash could come, that, through those feelings of yearning, of desire for the third Beis HaMikdash, that's what guarantees the person that he'll merit to come back by Tchias HaMeisim to rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. If a person feels so strongly that he has a desire for the Mashiach, a desire for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and he feels it can be any moment, any second, he wants to be ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, then he's guaranteed by the Navi that he will merit to come back by Tchias HaMeisim to be part of the building of that third Beis HaMikdash, which should be soon in our days. Turn the page 4. Rashi has a little bit of a different take on this idea of the Asu Oysam. And the Jewish people were told, that Yechezkel was told to tell the Jewish people that if the Yeshua is called Tzurasa, if they safeguard the form, the idea, the plans for the third Beis HaMikdash and the laws, then they will do them. Rashi says like this. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara Maseches Brachos says that the Gemara is going on the words in Oz Yashir, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Konisa. Ad Yavor, until it passes over, Amcha Hashem, your nation Hashem, Ad Yavor, until it passes over, Amzu Konisa, this nation which you have acquired. So what's the repetition? The Gemara Maseches Brachos explains that there were two times when the Jewish people crossed over into Eretz Yisrael. One time in the times of Yehoshua, and one time in the times of Ezra. They came back after the goal of Babel, after the exile in Babylonia. They came back, so they crossed over once again into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that the same way in the times of Yehoshua, they came into Eretz Yisrael with great miracles. They came over with the Yarden split for them, and they came through, they came to Yericho, and with great miracles they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So the same thing was meant to be in the times of Ezra as well. When they would come back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, that was also supposed to be with great pomp and ceremony, with great miracles, with great wonders from Hashem. It should have been just as great, just as much of a spectacle in the times of Ezra as it was in the times of Yeshua. However, the Gemara says, El Shagora Machet. And based on that, Rashi says, in the part that's line that's underlined and bold, Ubinyan Zeh, this building that Yechezkel HaNovi was told about, may oz hayoroi lohem kishaolim in a goyla l'gulas oylam. So there was really meant to be this Beis Hamikdash, which was described to Yechezkel b'nevuah. It was really meant to be for the second Beis Hamikdash. This was meant to be the second Beis Hamikdash. This was meant to be the eternal Beis Hamikdash. This Beis Hamikdash, which Yechezkel was told about, and which he told over to the Jewish people, it was really meant to be built when they came back from Babel. They came back to Babel. They were supposed to build this Beis Hamikdash. And that Beis HaMikdash is going to be the eternal Beis HaMikdash, no doubt about it. That Beis HaMikdash was guaranteed to be the Beis HaMikdash that will last forever. And that was what was supposed to happen. That was the original plan. Just as when Ezra brought the Jewish people back from Babel, it was supposed to be with great nisim and with great might and strength. They were supposed to come back to Eretz Yisrael and conquer it. So too, they were supposed to come back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, which Yechezkel HaNovi was told about, and that Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be the eternal, everlasting Beis HaMikdash. But the same way that Ezra didn't lead the Jewish people back in that same miraculous way that Yeshua led them into Eretz Yisrael, why? Because of their sins. So too, they didn't merit to have this Beis HaMikdash that Yechezkel HaNovi was told about. They didn't merit to have it built at that time. They weren't worthy of having this eternal Beis HaMikdash built at that time. And therefore the plans had to change. That Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be built when they came back from Babel and last forever. Instead, they had to get the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, which as we know, paled in comparison to the first Beis HaMikdash. It was somewhat of a substitute of just a fill-in Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't the real thing. And they had to suffice with that for the time being. And eventually, even that was destroyed, and we're still waiting for the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. But says Rashi tells us that really this was supposed to be the second Beis HaMikdash. This, the Beis HaMikdash, the plans, the form, the details that were given to Yechezkel, they were supposed to be for the second Beis HaMikdash. However, because of the sins of the Jewish people, like Rashi says, El Shigoram HaChet, Rashi says the Chet was Shloi Hoysa Tshuvasim HaGenes Al Menash Shloi Lachetoi, that the Tshuva wasn't complete, it wasn't the proper Tshuva, it wasn't done with sincere intentions to not sin again, since their Tshuva wasn't the proper and full Tshuva. So therefore, those sins caused that they were not worthy of having this Beis HaMikdash, which was described to Yechezkel. They weren't worthy of having an eternal, everlasting Beis HaMikdash in that point. And therefore, they only got a substitute, second Beis HaMikdash, which was not the same. And that was eventually destroyed. And we're still waiting. This Beis HaMikdash, which was described to Yechezkel, instead of being the second Beis HaMikdash, will Amir Hashem soon be the third Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi understands that it wasn't, when it was told to Yechezkel, it wasn't really meant to be a third Beis HaMikdash. It was meant to be the second Beis HaMikdash, really. Now, because of the sins of the Jewish people, that they weren't worthy of having it at the time, that's why it was pushed off, and we're still waiting for the fulfillment of this prophecy, for that third Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. So according to the Metzudah, they seem to understand that actually from the outset, right from the beginning, it was meant to be the third Beis HaMikdash. It was never meant to be the second Beis HaMikdash. He understands that Yechezkel was telling the Jewish people that this is going to be the third Beis HaMikdash and you'll never merit to see it. But if you learn about the forms, you learn about the plans, then you'll merit to come back with Tchias HaMeisim to build it then. Rashi seems to understand the Jewish people were being told, also Isam, study it, learn it, you'll make this Beis HaMikdash. However, since they didn't keep their end of the deal, they didn't do tshuva properly, and they sinned, Rashi says at the end, that because, it was because they married non-Jewish women in Babel, that were the sins that caused it. But the point is, really, they were supposed to do it. When Yechezkel was telling them, when Hashem told Yechezkel to tell them, they'll make it, Hashem meant it. He meant they'll make it. This will be the second Beis HaMikdash. However, because of their sins, they didn't merit to do that. They only got the second Beis HaMikdash that we know about. And this Beis HaMikdash described to Yechezkel will be the third Beis HaMikdash. It should be to come soon in our days. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Tzav has a bit of a different take on this. The Medrash in Parshas Tzav records a conversation between the Rebbeinu Shlomo, between Hashem and Yechezkel. Source number 12, Yud Beis. The Medrash is there, is talking about the Karbonos, the famous drasha Chazal tell us. It says, Zois Torah Sa'ova, Zois Torah Sa'chatos. Pasha Tzav, it says, this is the Torah of the Oila of the Chatos. And the Mepharshim of the Medrash explain that the language is a bit surprising. It should have said, Zois Chukas Ha'chatos. This is the law of the Chatos. What does it mean, Zois Torah? This is the Torah of the Chatos. This is the teaching of the Chatos. Why does it say these are the rules of the Chatos? It goes on to give the rules, where it has to be slaughtered, what to do with the blood, what to do with the limbs. Why does it say, Zois Torah Sa'chatos, Zois Torah Sa'ola? Why doesn't it say, Zois Chukas, these are the laws? Why instead it says, these are the teachings? And Chazal very famously tell us that someone who's Oisik B'Torah Sa'chatos, or Oisik B'Torah Sa'ola, Hashem considers it as if he brought a Chatos, or as if he brought a carbon Ola. That being, by learning, by studying the sections of the Torah, which talk about the halachos, the laws of bringing the various karbanos, Hashem considers it as if a person actually sacrificed those karbanos. And similarly, here, the Medrash says, Bo yure'e. It says, come and see. Kishakodish Baruch Hu marili chezgel turas habayis. When Hashem showed you chezgel, the form of the Beis HaMikdash, I'm reading from the bold part of Source Yud Beis, Mahu Oimer, what does Hashem say to Yechezkel? Hagei des Beis Yisroel es Habayis. Tell the Jewish people about the Beis HaMikdash, v'yikomu me'avonei seihem. And they will be ashamed of their sins, umodudu es tochnis. And they'll calculate the design, they'll calculate the proper measurements. So Amar Yechezkel fin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, Yechezkel responded to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Ad Achshav Anu Musudim B'Goylo B'Eretz Tzoneinu. Right now, we're in exile, we're in the land of our enemies. Ve'ata Oimer Li Leilech L'Hidya Li Yisrael Turas HaBayis, you want me to go tell Jewish people now, here sitting in exile, about the form of the Beis HaMikdash, start getting them all involved with the details and the plans for the Beis HaMikdash. Uksoiv Le'inehem, V'yishminu is called Tzuroisov, is called Chukaisov, and Hashem goes on, you want me to write it in front of them, and they should guard, safeguard, and keep all the forms and the laws of it. V'chiyecholehim lasos, can they make it now? What's the point? Why am I instructing them about all the details of the Beis HaMikdash? V'chiyecholehim lasos, can they make it now? They can't do anything with it. Why should I give over all this information to them if they can't do anything with it? Haniach lehem atchiyalu min agoylo. So leave them alone. Let's leave them until they come out of the exile, until they're redeemed. And afterwards, then I'll go and I'll tell them. I'll give over to them all the details, all the information they need to know when it's actually practically relevant, when they could use that information to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. As this seems to, just parenthetically, this seems to indicate more like Rashi says. There's actually Yechezkel certainly understood that these were plans for the second Beis HaMikdash. Now it's clear, Yechezkel says, okay, wait till we go back to Eretz Yisrael and then tell me the plans. Right, if it's for a future Beis HaMikdash, which there will be thousands of years later, then why is Yechezkel saying, well, wait till we get back to Eretz Yisrael? Even when we get back to Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing to do with this information. Right, so the Medrash seems to indicate, like Rashi's pshat, that Yechezkel understood that the instructions that Hashem were giving him were for a second Beis HaMikdash, or for a Beis HaMikdash that will be built when they came back from Baba. Not for a third Beis HaMikdash far in the future. Okay. But so that's what Yechezkel says to Hashem. Yechezkel says to Hashem, Hashem, you want me to go tell him over? I should start making charts and details and illustrations. Well, what do we need it? What do they need it for? They're sitting here in Galus in exile amongst their enemies. There's nothing they can do with them anyway. Let's wait till we're redeemed, till we go back to Eretz Yisrael, and then I'll give over the information to them. So what's Hashem's response? Hashem said to Yechezkel, because my children are in exile, so the building of my Beis HaMikdash should be bottled. It should wait. We shouldn't be involved in it. Hashem says to Yechezkel. Hashem continues to say, Godol kriyos abat toiro kibinyana. The reading about the building of the Beis HaMikdash in the Torah is as great as actually building it. Lechem or lohem. Go tell them all the details. Go tell them all the information. And let them be involved in reading the form of the Beis HaMikdosh in the Torah. I don't know if it means actually in the Torah or in the words of the Nevi'im. And as a reward for reading it, they'll be involved in learning and studying all the details, all the information about this Beis HaMikdosh. I'll consider it as if they're actually involved in building that the Beis HaMikdosh. Not just a regular reward for learning Torah, but a special reward as if they're building the bayis. Says Hashem, the fact that they're in exile, the fact that they're out of Eretz Yisrael and they can't practically build the Beis HaMikdosh, that doesn't stop them from building the Beis HaMikdosh. Maybe physically and practically they can't put any bricks and cement together to build a building of the Beis HaMikdosh, but through studying the psukim, through studying the details and the plans for the Beis HaMikdosh, Hashem says that considers that they're actually involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdosh.
I was actually thinking, maybe that's why, actually many times you're saying the Beis HaMikdosh of King David, even though he didn't actually make the Beis HaMikdosh, but he was making the plans for it.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. So the Hashem's response to Yechezkel is that the Asa Waisam, perhaps, the Medrash doesn't say this explicitly, but perhaps the Asa Waisam, according to the Medrash, means that through studying and through being involved in the measurements and the details and the forms of the plans of the future Beis HaMikdosh, through studying them, that Hashem considers it is tantamount to building the Beis HaMikdosh itself. Hashem considers it as if they're involved with building the Beis HaMikdosh itself. So it's nice, a beautiful idea. And the question is, what does it really mean? I understand it's very nice. You learn the Torah. You say you learn the Torah about the Karban Chatos, if you brought a Chatos. And you learn the Torah, the Psukim, about building the Beis HaMikdosh. It's as if you built the Beis HaMikdosh. But wait one second. It's not building the Beis HaMikdosh. You're not bringing the Karban. What does it mean that it's Hashem considers it as if you brought the Karban? If you're just learning, it's considered as bringing the Karban. So do we have to really bring Karbanis then? Just learn about it. Why do we have to bring Karbanis? It's the same thing. It must not be the same thing. So what exactly does that mean that Hashem considers learning about the Karban as if you brought the Karban, learning about the building of the Beis HaMikdosh as if you built the Beis HaMikdosh? So what does that mean? So the Ksav Sofer in Parshas Tzav, he gives what would seem to be the most simple and straightforward explanation. And he says, let's look for a second back on what the purpose of the Karbanis themselves are. If we're going to say that learning the psukim about the karbanos is considered as if a person brought the karbanos, so let's understand what bringing karbanos is all about. So Ksav Sofer quotes the Ramban, who quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who explains that the purpose of karbanos is that, really, ideally, if a person sins against Hashem, it's such a terrible thing, that really he should give himself over completely to Hashem. He should sacrifice himself to Hashem. Give over his soul to Hashem because of the sins that he did. But Hashem doesn't want us to do that. Hashem understands. That's not the way Hashem wants his world to work. And therefore Hashem says that the forgiveness and atonement can come about through bringing a karban. When a person brings the karban and he has the proper intentions, he thinks about the fact that really this animal that's being slaughtered really should be himself. The sinner really thinks about the fact that this animal is being slaughtered, really he's the one who should be slaughtered. And he thinks about the when it's slaughtered and the blood being sprinkled and the different parts of the animal being burnt on the mizbeach. He thinks about it, contemplates the fact that all of that should really be happening to him. So through that mindset that comes about through a person bringing a karban with the proper kavanah, with the proper intentions, that mindset, those thoughts that go through a person's mind as he's bringing a karban, is what brings about the atonement. And that's what the Ramban quotes from Rabbi Hananel for the purpose of bringing karbanos. That through bringing the karbanos and going through the motions of what should be really happening to the person himself, and with that understanding, that brings a person to tshuva, that inspires a person, it arouses a person to do tshuva, and that helps a person attain a kapara, an atonement. And says the Ksav Sofer, according to that, it's very simple. If a person can read the Pesukim about Karbanos and also have the same thoughts And think about those same ideals that a person would think about when there was a Beit HaMikdash and he brought his carbon, then we could really accomplish the same thing. It's not so much about the practical slaughtering of the animal, burning it on the Mizbeach. Right? Hashem really gains nothing from animals being burnt on the Mizbeach, from blood being sprinkled on the Mizbeach. According to the Ramban, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, the idea is the thoughts that go on in a person's heart, the contemplation that a person has at the time of the bringing of the carbon is what really brings about the kapara, the atonement for a person. And he says if that's the case, a person can read the psukim, and on some level, maybe not as much as seeing it happen in front of him, but on some level be able to picture in his mind the way the carbonos were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and if he can think about it the same way that he really should be the one who's being brought as a carbon, then a person could reach that same inspiration, and it can be a person can arouse himself to tshuva through learning about the carbonos, even without bringing the carbonos themselves. And that's in the Ksav Sefer, it says the explanation that someone who studies the psukim about a chatos or an oila or whatever it might be, that through that oisik the parashas oila is kilu mitri of oila, a person who's involved who studies the sections of the Torah talking about the oila, and he pictures in his mind, he thinks to himself about how really he's the one who should be brought as the carbon, and he's aroused to tshuva through that. It's kilu mitri of oila, he accomplishes the same thing as if he would bring the carbon oila itself. Now there is a Beis HaMikdash, so we actually bring the carbonos. Certainly it's much more effective to actually see the slaughtering of the animal in front of your eyes. Certainly it's a lot more effective in inspiring the person. But even without it, the person could reach some part of that inspiration through reading the Psuk and understanding the halachos of the carbon as well, understanding the process and the procedure that was done in the bringing of the carbon. And perhaps that's the same idea when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Zalman Tzurotskin apparently wrote a haskama to a sefer called Sefer Beis HaMikdash. And he writes there that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is a person goes to the Beis HaMikdash and he sees the abode of Hashem and he sees the Kehanim and Levim hurrying back and forth in the service of Hashem. He sees the great miracles taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. It brings a sense of awe and reverence on a person. A person could reach great levels of Avodas Hashem, of Yiras Shamayim, through coming and seeing the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The purpose of coming to the Beis HaMikdash is to bring reverence upon a person, it's supposed to affect the person, to inspire him from seeing what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash and see the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mokom Ashras Hashchina, all the Avodah that goes on there, is to inspire a person and to elevate a person, to bring a person to Yiras Shamayim. And the Psukim say, when it talks about Maaseh Sheni, going up by Maaseh Sheni, that it brings a person to Yira, to awe and reverence of Hashem, in various places where it talks about going and seeing the Beis HaMikdash, it talks about the Beis HaMikdash brings awe and reverence of Hashem upon a person. So it says in Zalman Tzurotskin there, that a person could accomplish the same thing through learning the Tzuras HaMikdash, the Tochnisoi Pukais of a person involves himself. The person delves into the tzura, the form, the appearance of the Beis HaMikdash, and he sees the grand nature of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Madonna of the Beis HaMikdash, all the details of that, and the person could close his eyes and picture himself there in the Beis HaMikdash, and all with all the greatness around him, all the Avodas Hashem, everything that's taking place in the Beis HaMikdash all around him, that through that a person could perhaps accomplish the same thing as having the Beis HaMikdash itself. Perhaps the same way the Ksav Sefer explains that the karbonos, a person could accomplish the purpose of the karbonos by learning about the karbonos, so too, according to the Zalman Tzurotskin, by a person learning about the Beis HaMikdash, a person could accomplish, to elevate himself to higher levels of Yiras Shamayim through learning about the Beis HaMikdash, delving into it, putting himself into it, viewing himself as if he's in the Beis HaMikdash, a person could raise himself up, he could elevate himself, bring himself to greater levels of Yiras Shamayim. And it could be Elohim Oisni Bivinyan Abayis. It could be as if he himself is involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, and by accomplishing the same purpose as when the Beis HaMikdash was actually in its prime when it was built and it was there. Rav Basil Salomon in the Matnas Chayim on the Moyadim, essentially the discussion actually comes up in discussion about Purim. Purim Katan is almost upon us. As we discussed other times, Purim Katan is not just a joke, that it's, you know, what Purim would have been. Not to get into all details now, but according to Chassam Sofer, it's actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, let's save it for a different time. But in the discussion about Purim, Rabbi Tzio Salomon discusses this idea. It's based on the Gemara in Megillah, which talks about that when Haman came to get Mordechai to put him on Achashverosh's horse with Achashverosh's garments, so there's an interesting exchange between the students of Mordechai and Haman. The Gemara says that the students of Mordechai was teaching them about Knitza, about bringing a Karban Mincha, a meal offering, and the students of Mordechai say to Haman that they're learning that that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, then they used to bring the Karban Mincha, and they would bring a Knitza, the small amount of the flour they would sacrifice in the Mizbeach. And Haman says that your Knitza is going to come, and it's going to push away, it's going to overpower my 10,000 silver pieces that I gave to Achashverosh. Interesting conversation. What, you know, what exactly did Haman hear and what the students of Mordechai said? And Rav Tzio Salom was bothered by the fact that the students of Mordechai said, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, that's what we did. And presumably, the reason why you study the halachos that are about the karbanos is for the future. Right? They anticipate in the future there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. So we study the halachos to know what to do in the future Beis HaMikdash. So why did they say, when there will be a Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, this is what we're going to do in the Beis HaMikdash? Why did they refer to the past instead of the future? And what exactly did Haman understand about this? So they're discussing history. So what does that mean to Haman? Well, your kmitza, your meal offering, is going to overpower my money. Well, it was history. You're discussing what you used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that have to do with now? So, Rav Tzio Salomon writes, he quotes Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky makes an observation in the words of the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. If you look at the bottom of page 4, it's the top of page 5. So in the Musaf Rosh Chodesh, what do we say? Say, Rosh Chodoshim Ma'am Chonosata. You gave Rosh Chodoshim to your nations, Man Kapor, Kol Toidosim, it's a time of atonement. B'hiyoysam Ma'krivim Mefanech Ozit Chayrotzim. And we start to talk about the history of what used to be. We're davening Musaf, which is about the carbon Musaf that used to be brought. So we say, when they used to bring in front of you offerings of the you desire, and chatos, goats for carbon chatos, to atone for themselves, so a remembrance for all of them, yihyu, they shall be. So Cheskel Abramsky says, it would seem we're talking about the history of what used to be. We should have said zikara in the chulam hayu. They were those karbanos which were brought zikara in the chulam hayu. They were a remembrance for all of them. They were a way of so to speak, reminding Hashem of us that Hashem should remember us and atone for our sins and bring good things upon us. However, the way it's written is in the future. Zikara in the chulam yihyu. They shall be a remembrance for all of them. They shall be. So what does that mean? So Cheskel Abramsky explains that what it means is that the effect of karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash when it was here, they can be used for us as well. We ask Hashem zikar in the chulam yihyu. Those karbanos which were brought then, they should serve for us now as well. Their merit should come and atone for our sins now as well. Those karbanos, those sacrifices which were brought in the Beis HaMikdash hundreds of years ago, those karbanos, those sacrifices, their effect, their zchus, their merit, should extend to us now, and they should have an effect for us now. There should be a zikaron lechulam. There should be a remembrance for all of us, and they should affect us in a positive way. Their merit should work for us now as well.
I have a question.
Let me just finish. So it says Rav Tzio Salomon, that's the idea of kolaisik b'teres chato, someone who involves himself in learning the sections of the Torah which discuss the carbon chatos, the carbon oilo, whichever carbon it may be, says Rav Tzio Salomon, we can bring those carbonates which were brought, their effect, we can bring it into our lives, we can bring it to affect us as well. However, we have to have some sort of connection to it. In order to be able to connect it, says Rav Tzio Salomon, through involving ourselves in studying the sections of the Torah talk about the carbonates, we can connect to those karbonis of old, and their merit, their effect, can work for us as well. It's ki'ilu b'kir chatos doesn't mean that it's actually as if you brought your own karbon chatos now. According to Matzio Salomon, what it means is that we can have the merit of the bringing of a karbon chatos. How? By studying the psukim, studying the sections of the Torah which discuss the karbon chatos, we can connect to those karbonis chatos of old that were brought when the Beis Hamikdash was still around, and when we connect to them, their merit, their zchus, their effect can apply to us as well, and it could be just as good as if we brought a karbon. Those merits that come about through the bringing of a karbon could come to us as well through connecting to the karbonis of old, through learning, through studying the psukim and the halachos and sections of the Torah which discuss the various karbonis. And that's how the Matzio Salomon explains the idea of studying the sections of the Torah which talk about the karbonis, and perhaps you can apply that as well to studying the sections of the Torah or the Navi which discuss the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that the merit of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and even with that, presumably, even without the sacrifice, even without bringing karbonis, the Beis HaMikdash itself, having a Beis HaMikdash amongst us, having Ashras HaShchina, that in itself was a significant merit, it was a significant zechus. And if we can tap into that, if we can connect to that through studying the sections of the Torah, sections of the Navi, which talk about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the form of the Beis HaMikdash, then we can tap into that, and those merits of having a Beis HaMikdash can apply to us as well. It can be just as good as if we built the Beis HaMikdash ourselves. I'd just like to end off. Anyone who needs to leave can feel free to leave, mm-hmm. If they want. As far as why Yechezkel is instructed to talk to the Jewish people here in exile, here in Bavel, about the form of the Beis HaMikdash, about the plans of the Beis HaMikdash, just in general, without getting into the details, of Isaac Sher, Likut Sichos Musar, he writes that it's important, even in the Golos, even in exile, even here in America in the year 2016, it's important for us to know about the form of the Beis HaMikdash, and Ashras Ashkina took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Take a look in the last source number 14 on page 5, of Isaac Sher quotes the Gemara. The Gemara in the second Megillah says, Tanya B'shim Ben Yechai Oimer, B'shim Ben Yechai says, Bo Yure'ei, come and see, Kama Chaviv in Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how beloved the Jewish people are to Hashem. How? Shebechol Mokim Shegolu, wherever the Jewish people were exiled to, Shechino Imohem. The Shechino, the presence of Hashem, was with them. The Gemara talks about in Mitzrayim, and the Gemara says, "Go to Bavel," and they were exiled to Bavel. Shechina imahim, the Shechina was together with them. Shenemar, it says, "Lemanchem," for your sake, Hashem says, "Shulachti," I will send Bavel to Bavel. Hashem says, "For your sake, I will send." Shulachti means I will send, not that I sent you. Shulachti, I will send to Bavel. Hashem says, "I will send to Bavel. I took my Shechina, I uprooted it from Eretz Yisrael, and I went with you out to Bavel." The Gemara goes on to say, the Bavel Hecha, where in Bavel could the Shechina be found? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Bebe Knishta de Hutzal, the Beis HaKnesses of Hutzal, Bebe Knishta de Shof V'yosim Ben Ardo. And the Beis Knesses of Shof V'yosim Ben Ardo, it sounds like a traveling Beis Knesses of Nardo. Says of Isaac Sher, Chazal are telling us that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, when there's no Ashras HaShechina in the Beis HaMikdash, there's still Ashras HaShechina. Hashem goes with us wherever we are. And where's the Ashras HaShechina? That Ashras HaShechina, which left the Beis HaMikdash, is resettled in a Mokum Torah. In the Beknishto, the Hutzal, Beknishto, the Shof Yosef and Hardor, wherever there's Limud HaTorah, wherever there's the Beis HaMedrash, wherever there's the Yeshiva, that's where, that becomes the new Mokum Ashras HaShechina. And that becomes the new Beis HaMikdash, says the Isaac Sher. But Isaac Sher says, our Yeshivos, our Bote Medrash, our Mokum Torah, wherever there's a place of Limud HaTorah, that becomes Mokum Ashras HaShechina, that comes the place where the Shechina is, and that becomes like the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis HaMikdash of our times. There's no Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, but there's a Beis HaMikdash wherever there's a Mokum Torah. It's a Beis HaMikdash, that's the place of Ashras HaShechina. And if we want to know how to properly treat our Mokum Torah, how to conduct ourselves properly in the Mokum Torah, we have to take a look at the designs, at the descriptions of the Beis HaMikdash, and we have to see what was integral in the Beis HaMikdash. What was the proper conduct in the Beis HaMikdash? How did we relate to the Beis HaMikdash? and that's how we have to relate to our Mekoymes Torah, our Batei Medrash, right? We have a Mekom Torah, a place where we study Torah, we have to relate it like the Beis HaMikdash. We have to study the details of the Beis HaMikdash to know, to apply them to our Beis Medrash, to our Mekom Torah, to wherever we are, we study Torah. Just very quickly, he goes back to the Pasuk, which you have on page 3. The Pasuk says, what does the Torah say? It says, Zeis Teres HaBayis. What's the Torah? What is the teaching? What's the idea of the Beis HaMikdash? Our Rosh Ha'ar on top of the mountain. Our Beis Medrash, our Mekom Torah has to be on the top of the mountain. It has to be on the top, put up on a pedestal. We have to have reverence and appreciation. It has to be the focal point of our lives. What's the Teres HaBayis? Our Rosh Ha'ar. It's on top of the mountain. Our Mekom Torah has to be our primary focus, the primary focus of our lives, the primary focus of our community. And it goes on to say, Kol Gevuloi Sovim Kodesh Kadoshim. Its entire boundary all around from Kodesh Kadoshim, the part of the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, and the effect of the Beis HaMikdash, and the effect of our Beis Medrash, our Mekom Torah has to be, that it has to spread its light, it has to be a beacon of light to all those around us. It has to spread the influence of Torah, of Avodas Hashem, to all those around us. It can't just stay cooped up in our Beis Medrash, it has to influence all those around us. That's the way we conduct ourselves. Those who are part of the Mekom Torah, the way we conduct ourselves has to be in such a way that it affects those around us in a positive way. We have to make our Mekom Torah an inviting place. It should be a place where people want to come. That it should be able to spread that influence to others around us. When I first moved here, and my father came to help us move in, so he said that it's no coincidence that the Kollel is on Beacon Street. It's a beacon of light. To spread the light of Torah to all those around us. And that's what we see from the Beis HaMikdash. The Novi tells us, what's the nature of the Beis HaMikdash? It's Al Rosh Ha'ar, on top of the mountain. It's up on a pedestal, it's the focal point. And called Gevulei Sovim Kodesh Kadoshim has to be a place that influences, that light, spreads the light to those around us. And there's more lessons that he speaks about there as well. We're coming to be out of time. But that's the message, says, even in Golos, there's a message to study the Beis HaMikdash, to know we have a Beis HaMikdash, not the same Beis HaMikdash. We have a Beis HaMikdash in the sense that there's Ashras Ashchina, Hashem Shchina rests in our Mekom Torah, in our Beis Medrash, in our Yeshivos, whatever it is, there's Ashras Ashchina over there, and we have to know what's the proper way to conduct ourselves, how our Mekom Torah should be, and that's based on what we see from the Beis HaMikdash.